It is great to be able to be here this Sunday. This is our very first meeting on our furlough. And the very first meeting on furlough is always very nervous. You never know all the things you forget. I left all my notes in Danville where we're staying. So last night was exciting. My wife's like, "Now don't be so nervous. It's going to be fine." And I'm like, "It's like being asked to go to Martha Stewart's house and cook her lunch. I mean, you've got an excellent pastor. You hear excellent preaching, excellent lessons all the time. And then they ask me to come in and teach. And I'm like, what in the world am I going to be able to do?" But it is great to be able to be here. As Pastor said, your church has been supporting us since the very beginning, since we were on deputation. I do remember being in the old building there. And it's been great to have you stand behind us as we serve the Lord there in Zambia. We've had many supporting churches through the years, but I'll tell you what, there aren't many churches like Faith Baptist that actually know what's going on in Zambia and actually care about what's going on in Zambia. That is something very special to us, and it means a lot to us. It really does. We encourage you to come back and visit our display table between the services and then this evening. Got a lot of interesting things back there for you. Encourage your kids to come by and see us. We've got a coloring page for them. We've got a word search page that they can do. They color those. They bring them back tonight. We've got a little prize for them. One of the things that we always try to do is we try to see who has some of our old prayer cards. We've got new ones for this year, of course. We try to do that. But what we do is we encourage people, if you've got any of these old prayer cards that we had when we started, kind of like rookie cards, you bring these in and we've got a prize for you as well. I always tell people, you know, you keep these. Someday when we get eaten by crocodiles, they'll be worth something. But no, we really do appreciate your faithfulness. It means a lot to us. It really does. A great deal. I'd like you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4 this morning. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. You know, I love reading through the Bible. A few years ago, I got an app on my phone that has different reading plans going through the Bible. And it's helped me be much more faithful in my Bible reading than it ever has been. But you know, as I go through my Bible reading, I come to the Gospels, and I don't know about you, are you ever disappointed in the Gospels? I start reading in John, and within just a few days, I'm at the end. It's the crucifixion already, and I'm like, why isn't there more? I get through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm like, wow, it's over already, and I got to read it again. I am really excited about someday being able to sit down with the Lord and just see all the things that happened in those 30 years that we just have no idea what happened. You know, John was absolutely correct. You know, if all the things that Jesus did were written down, the world could not contain it. And I wonder about all the things that happened. I really do. It's just exciting to serve a Savior that is so multidimensional. And He did so many things. But this is one of my favorite passages here. Let's have a word of prayer. And then we'll get started with our Bible study this morning. Heavenly Father, we love You very much. And Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear Lord, for being here with us today. I thank You, dear Lord, for being with our church in Zambia, even now as they're going to bed. I pray, dear Lord, that You'll continue to bless them and watch over them. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, that You'll be with the special needs that are represented here at Faith. Heavenly Father, I pray for Pastor's mom. I pray, dear Lord, for those who are traveling. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are ill. And Heavenly Father, we pray for Your blessing upon the services today. We pray that Your Holy Spirit will meet with us. We pray, dear Lord, that He'll find hearts that are open and ready and receptive to Your word being preached today. We love You, dear God. We ask Your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 4, we see that Jesus and His disciples are traveling through. They decide that they're going to go through Samaria. A lot of the Jews would have gone around Samaria. They didn't like the Samaritans. They had reasons not to go that way, but Jesus decided He wanted to go through. And so He travels through Samaria. They end up at a city called Sychar, and Jesus needs to take a rest. There's a well. It's outside the city, and so Jesus takes a rest there. The disciples go into the city to try to get some food, to get some things done there. And Jesus is sitting there at the well when we see a lady come. The Bible says in verse 6, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." Now, you know, this is the first interesting thing you're going to see in this passage is that it's noontime. It's the sixth hour. There's no one at the well. It's the hot time of the day. And here comes a lady from the city, and she's coming to draw water. Back in Zambia, we just finished some lessons on Jacob and Rebecca and Isaac and Rachel and all of this. And they went to the well to draw water, but they were there early in the morning. That's the time that ladies normally drew water from the well. But we see this lady coming at noontime, and that's going to play an important role in a little bit. When Jesus came and he saw this lady, He was kind to her. Even though she was a Samaritan, the Jews didn't have a lot of friendly dealings with the Samaritans, he was kind to her. And even though she was a woman by herself, he still spoke to her. And this surprised her. She was shocked. She said, "How are you, a Jew, speaking to me?" "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus goes on to talk to her. He explains some things about the nature of eternal life. He offers her water that if she drinks, she'll never thirst. She misunderstands and says, "You know, this physical water that I'm never going to get thirsty, I want this." And he said, no. He said, "It's much more than that." And so they go on talking, and we come down to verse 16 and 17. Sorry. Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband, and come hither." Awkward. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that thou hast said truly." I think this kind of explains why she came at noontime to the well. She wasn't very liked by the ladies of Sychar because she had had five husbands. In our society today, this lady might have been the one with the piercings, the one with the tattoos, the one with the four little children from four different fathers. Not really that popular in society. The women of Sychar didn't like her. The men of Sychar liked her, but not for the right reason. The disciples, when they saw her, they immediately thought something was wrong. Nobody thought this woman was worth giving any time to, except for Jesus. And Jesus spent time with her and talked to her and treated her with respect. You know, just because someone looks different from us, acts different from us, doesn't mean that they're not intelligent. Doesn't mean that there's not something there that the Lord can use. I mean, each and every person has a soul. And when the world has beat someone down, perhaps they need Jesus even more. Because everybody beats them down. And you know, so often in our society, we, and I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptists, we have a bad reputation that we are judgmental, that we are unkind. But you know, Jesus wasn't that way. He could see past the sin. He could see past the mistakes that people have made. And he was able to still give them the gospel and love them. And that's what drew people to him, was his love for them. Jesus looked beyond her and he gave her the living water that she was looking for. We hop down to verse 27. Now the disciples are coming back. And this is where it gets good. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest with her?" Now just before this, the woman got so excited that she got up, she left her water pot, and she's going back in town to tell the men. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now, in verse 27, the disciples were shocked that Jesus would talk to this lady. They were shocked that he would talk to a Samaritan. They were shocked that he would talk to a woman. And probably because of her reputation, they were amazed that he would spend time with her. And so she's going back into the city. The disciples come back. They know not to question Jesus because so many times he's explained things and he's done it so simply that they just know to trust him. Just what's going on. Now, we come down here in verse 31, and it says, "And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Now, here's one of the things we need to understand. Verses 28 through 31 is happening at the same time of verses 32 to 35. Two things are happening, but they're happening parallel. The lady is in the city telling the men of the city, "Come see a man that told me everything I've ever done." And Jesus is talking to the disciples at the same time. And then in verse 35 is where the two events start to come back together. Now, Jesus says to the disciples, "Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." Yesterday, we drove from Danville, where we're staying for our furlough. We drove over to Lincoln, and then from Lincoln, we came up here to Bourbonnais. And Jill and I, we love the ride. Now, unless you've traveled in Africa, you don't understand what a blessing your roads are. Please don't come up to me and say, oh, yeah, but there's so much construction in Illinois. You know, it's just such a horrible thing to go from here to Champaign. You know, you got to slow down. You got all this construction. No. Please don't tell me that. Because in Zambia, driving is such a trial. It's such a headache. Little two-lane roads with potholes everywhere, pedestrians on the road, goats on the road, policemen jumping out from behind signs with AK-47s wanting you to stop. Vehicles coming in your lane, big, huge buses flashing their lights saying, get on my way. But you go off to the side, and the shoulder is this far down. And so you go off that shoulder, you're rolling. So you got to fight for your position with that big bus. Okay, anyway, it's really like that. And so we're driving, we're on this, we were going from Hayward up, I don't even remember the name of the road. This is a two-lane road, but it is beautiful. It was like floating on a cloud. And we look out, they're harvesting the beans, they're harvesting the corn. Big, beautiful fields. You can see this front coming in from the south. Beautiful blue sky. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "Stay not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest." So let's think about it. Right now in Illinois is harvest time. Okay? September, October. 4 months ago was May and June. So Jesus says, in 4 months coming the harvest. Not right now. In 4 months is coming. So when he tells them to look on the fields, they're not seeing crops. They're seeing little green shoots coming out of the ground. Okay? Because it's 4 months before the harvest. And so what does he see? He sees these men coming out from Sychar. That's what they're looking at when they look on the fields. They're not seeing crops growing, corn, wheat, whatever it was in those days. They're not seeing an actual crop that's ready to harvest. They're seeing these men who've been witnessed to by this woman, and they're coming out of the city. They're walking through the fields out to the well to see Jesus. And Jesus says to the disciples, "Look there on the fields, for they are white unto harvest." He's talking about the men who are coming out of the city because they want to come and see what this woman has told him about. That's exciting. But you know what? You think about what Jesus said. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. Driving up to Bourbonnais yesterday, we didn't see any fields that were white unto harvest. We saw golden grain. Right? That's when you harvest the field. You don't wait until it's white. When it turns golden, when it turns brown, that's the time to get your combine, that's the time to get your picker out there and to harvest your field. You leave that crop out there until November, it'll start to turn white. When it turns white, it's almost ready just to be tilled under. It means it's almost too late. It's not the ideal time, it means the harvest is almost past. It means it's almost too late. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where it is in the world today with missions. It's almost too late. You look at Rwanda. Rwanda's closing. Missionaries are leaving. 7,000 churches closed in the last 6 months by the government. Just taking back the land, taking back the buildings, missionaries leaving. You look at South Africa. South Africa is closing to missions. You saw what happened in Zimbabwe? It's happening in South Africa again. Now, you might have thought that under a nut like Mugabe, that would be normal. But under South Africa, with a more mature government, it's happening exactly again. The farms are being taken away. The farmers are being murdered. Crime is running rampant. And missionaries are leaving. You look at Australia. Even Australia, the requirements to get in are becoming very difficult. You look at Siberia. I have a friend in Siberia. The government, the Russian government, is putting more and more regulations on the missionaries there. The time for missions in these countries is running out. Even in Zambia, when we came in 20-some years ago, we just put in our paperwork, we got our work permit, not a problem. For our relief missionaries who came in this time, we had to jump through so many hoops. They had to get FBI clearance from the United States to get a work permit. They had to go to their local police station, get fingerprinted, and get a report that they are not going to be a danger in Zambia and submit that. Ladies and gentlemen, the time for, foreign missions in some countries, it's running out. The harvest is white. It's almost too late. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be serious about winning the lost. You know, each and every day you meet people, and this might be their last opportunity to hear the gospel. It might be the last opportunity for them to have a witness about the Lord. In Zambia, the population has doubled since we've been there. When we went, 8 million souls. Today, over 16 million. But you want to know the shocking thing? There's just as many independent Baptist missionaries in Zambia today as there was 20 years ago. In the time that Jill and I have been there, we have seen over 30 families come and go from Zambia. We need more missionaries. Listen, missionary work is hard. It's difficult. You have to be tenacious. It's not for people weak in body and weak in mind. We need you to send us your best. Don't send them to the U of I. Don't send them to these schools. Give us brilliant people to come to the mission field. People who know how to work with people. People who know how to get things done. People who aren't lazy. People who are committed. That's what the Lord needs. Don't we give the Lord our best? Shouldn't we give Him our best? Shouldn't we give Him our youth? I mean, I'm approaching 50. And I know that for some of the people here, you're like, wow, when I was 50, you know, I had all this. But for someone who's, this is the first time being 50, and we're getting close, it's scary. Things don't work the way they used to. And I can understand why Solomon said, give God your youth. You know what? Because in those days, I could go 24 hours a day. It's scary that at 8 o'clock at night, I feel like it's bedtime. It's scary that I'm perfectly comfortable going out to eat at 4:30 at night. You know? That's fine. But you know what? It takes energetic people. It takes people who are strong. It takes people of character. And that's the missionaries that we need. You know, it's great that you support missions, but will you still support missionaries if it's your kids? If it's your son or daughter with a scholarship to go to this school, and they come and they say, Mom and Dad, I feel like the Lord's calling me to Africa. You know, when I went and I told my mom that I felt like the Lord was calling me to be a missionary, she wasn't exactly 100% behind it. I had just gotten out of the Army. I had a scholarship to go to school. I wanted to go to medical school. I wanted to be a surgeon. And she's like, well, you know what? Maybe you could go ahead and go to college here and get your degree, and then maybe you could be a medical doctor on the mission field. That would be good, wouldn't it? And I'm like, yeah, but then I'd have all that debt, and I'd be stuck here, and I'd take a job to pay off the debt, and then I'd be married, and then I'd have kids, and then it'd be so hard to go. The Lord needs boots on the ground. You know what? It's great that people support missions. But I'll tell you this. The Lord's not hindered for money. The Lord can get money anywhere. In Zambia, we've seen the Lord provide for us financially in so many ways, even from the lost people. We have a great relationship with the Indian businessmen there in Zambia, and they've helped us out. One of them, a Hindu, made all of the benches for our church for free. You know, it's kind of nice having relationships with these business people who think that there's work salvation, because they really work. They really do want to contribute a lot. But ladies and gentlemen, what the Lord needs, He needs voices. He needs feet on the ground. He needs people who are going to put themselves into the ministry. You know, that's the important part. And then we come down. Jesus says unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Ladies and gentlemen, we are working together in this mission work around the world. You are investing. You are investing your time. You are investing your finances. And you are reaping with us the benefits of your missionaries around the world. You are doing a good job. The Lord says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, you know what? You're in Bourbonnais. You can't go to Indonesia. can't go to Africa, can't go to Australia. And so you are sending us to represent you on your behalf. You are obeying God's command by sending missionaries. By giving to missions, you are having a part in the work that's going on. And when we reap, you reap. When we see people saved, that's going to your account as well. When we see lives changed, when we see families brought back together, that's because of your investment. And although you might not see dividends right here on earth, I guarantee you when you get to heaven someday, your dividends will be waiting for you. Because right here the principle is very clearly taught that we sow together, we reap together. Some sow, some reap on your behalf. And that's the most important thing that we can do, is to be involved in missions. Not just to sit back with our talents and say, well, we hit it in the dirt. No, no, no. Use what you have. Support your missionaries. And I can tell you the truth, even if you support your missionaries solely through prayer, you're doing a great work. Amen. You know, there's a purpose for these. We need your prayers. Now, with the invent of Facebook, with the invent of email and all that, it makes it so much easier for us to tell you our prayer requests, to tell you when we need urgent prayer. But even today, there are times when there's just no time to send a text. There's no time to put a post on Facebook. And we need you to pray for us, even if you don't know why you're praying. Praying regularly. Praying faithfully. When the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, pray for someone. There's a reason why the Lord wakes you up. I can't tell you how many times we've had a crisis in Zambia and there's been no time to tell you about it. There's not an ability of ours to put it in every prayer letter. If we put in our prayer letters all the things that are going on, you'd never want to read them because it'd just be, this is going wrong, this is going wrong, this is going wrong, this is going wrong. You don't want to read that. We can't do that. We have to be upbeat and happy and encouraging in our prayer letters so that you enjoy supporting a missionary in Zambia. Okay, you don't want to read a sad sack prayer letter, but I guarantee you there are things going on. We raised 4 children on the mission field, and they were 4 teenagers, just like your 4 teenagers. Anybody ever have difficulty with your teenagers? Oh yeah, we had those too. Pastor has problems with his teenagers because teenagers are teenagers. It doesn't matter if they're in Zambia, doesn't matter if they're here, doesn't matter where. We have those. There are times when Jill and I struggle just with our relationship with the Lord. Do you ever have a struggle with your relationship with the Lord? Do you ever have trouble opening up your Bible reading? Do you ever have trouble being faithful? So do we. But we're in a third world country. We're there, and Jill's trying to teach, and the electricity goes out. And the kids are like, yay! And Mom's like, oh no, not again. Jill's just putting a casserole in the oven, and the electricity goes out. We go to town, and the police just kind of walk out. They've got their machine gun. Roll down the window. How are you today? I'm fine. Where are you going today? I'm just going to the store. I'm hungry. Yeah. I'm real thirsty today. Okay, Mr. Guy with the machine gun standing in my window of my car. Sorry about that. Okay, go on. You know, your tires are looking pretty thin there. Well, I just bought them last month. Why don't you get out? We need to do an inspection on your vehicle. Hey, these things really go on. Honestly. Our relief missionaries came, and I knew it was a mistake. I knew it was a mistake. I took him to the airport, and at the airport, they've got the toughest road checkpoint there. But I wanted to show him what it was like. So 3 hours later in the police office downtown, and we finally get some resolution. He was so shaken up by that police officer, he couldn't drive the rest of the week. Seriously. She pulled him into the room with a machine gun. Give me your license. You did this. I'm going to impound your car. I'm going to take you back to cells. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, come on. But this is what we go through. That's the way it is. If you know, the thing about Zambia, you got to learn to be patient. If you go there with your American ideals of it's going to happen here, 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 you are going to blow a blood vessel. You really are. Zambia runs on a calendar, not on a clock. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Your missionaries need your prayers. All times of the day. I mean, right now in Zambia, they're going to bed. They need your prayers. When you're eating dinner, it's the middle of the night there. They need your prayers. You know what? In Zambia, we can't pick up the phone and call for an ambulance. We can't pick up the phone and call for the police. We can't even pick up the phone and call for the fire department. I mean, our church building burnt down, and we called the fire department, and they said, well, sorry, our engine's not working tonight. We can come tomorrow, though. And so I called Jill, and I said, get the kids up, bring them to the church. They've got to watch the building burn down. They're never going to see this again. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, we're there. You know, we're watching the building go down. It's just slowly from the top to the bottom. You know, 3 hours, and it's gone. Because they use the fire engine to take and to fill people's tanks at their houses, and they had worn it out. And so in the middle of the night, they didn't have it to use. But what I'm saying is, we need your prayers. They're urgent. Your missionaries, they sit at night, and they look at the dinner table, and they think, what are we doing here? Am I doing right by my kids? My kids don't get to play Little League. They don't get to go to Walmart. They don't get to go to Dairy Queen. They have no idea what a drinking fountain is. Am I doing the right thing by my kids? God called me and my wife to the field, but what about these kids? They spend time on the internet looking at airline tickets. How much it costs to go home. They spend time looking at job listings in their hometown. It's a hard life. Your missionaries need your prayers. They come before you and they look professional and they look like they have it all together and they appear very spiritual to you, but they are very frail human beings underneath it. Some of their marriages are struggling. They're struggling with their family back home. They're struggling with their finances. They need your prayers. You know what? Jesus said, "In as much as you've done this to the least of them, you've done it unto me." He cared for that woman at the well. She was unloved by society, even by the disciples, but Jesus saw something in her. You know, I think it's fantastic that we support missionaries in Mexico, and in Africa, and in Asia. But you know, we're really doing a disservice if we do all of that supporting, but we don't go and witness in the Mexican neighborhoods, we don't go and witness in the black neighborhoods, we don't go and witness in the Asian neighborhoods. We don't want to be that kind of people. We don't want to be that kind of church. We really don't. We don't want to be the ones that won't talk to the people who look different than us, who act different than us. That's not what Jesus would have done. You look at who hung around Jesus. Honestly. Who didn't like it? Well, the Pharisees didn't like it. As I've been doing my Bible study this year, I've been writing in my notebook all the characteristics of the Pharisees. All the things that Jesus didn't like about the Pharisees. They did this, they did this, they did this. And I'm sad to say, when I look at that, I see my behavior sometimes. I really do. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be the ones who were against Jesus. I want to be like Jesus was. I want to be open. I want to show Christ's love to those around us. Not by my rules and not by the things I don't do and things have to be this way, but because Jesus loved me and I want to love people. I want to show Him their love. I want to be able to give out a tract, not to argue with people, not to do anything like that, but just to give them an opportunity to know about how Jesus loves them and how He wants to save them. Jesus can deal with their sin. I don't need to argue with them. I don't need to look down on them. I just need to share love with them. Unconditional love that says, you're welcome at Faith Baptist Church. You come the way you are. You let the Lord change you. You're welcome here. We want you to know Jesus Christ, your Savior. Because you know what? Only men can make hypocrites. Jesus makes converts. We can force people to fit into our little box, but the best change is the change that comes from within. When they truly accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's what we want. That's really what we want to do. I love this passage in the book of John. I love John chapter 4. I love this lady at the well. I hope that as you read through this today, as you think about this, it'll change our mind about the way that we witness, or even if we don't witness, to just go ahead and take the tract, to witness to people, just to say you're welcome. Just to say that there's a place where you can be loved. There's a place where you can come and you can hear the truth from God's Word and you can let God speak to your heart. That's what we want to be. That's what we do in Zambia. That's what you do here in Bourbonnais. And that's what we need to continue doing, is to take the gospel to those who need it, to pray for our missionaries. You know, one of the things that about me, the strange, is I'm always uncomfortable with people who say, well, we can all be missionaries. Well, we can all be witnesses, it's true. But a missionary is someone who leaves their home and goes to a foreign land and gives up a lot to serve the Lord. We can all defend our homes, but we can't all be policemen. We can all put out the fire in the kitchen, but we can't all be firemen. But we can all be witnesses, and that's for sure. And we can be a witness at our work. We can be a witness at our job. You know, the truth is, I can't go to where you work. You're the witness that has to be there. I can't be there at your family reunion. You're the one who's there. You're the only missionary they may ever see. You're the only witness they may have. And it's hard because those people really know you. The people you work with, the people you live with, you know, going to witness to your aunts and uncles, and invariably they say, well, I remember when you did this. But you know what? Just to tell what the Lord has done. And that's what this woman at the well did. She wasn't a Bible scholar. Okay? She wasn't anything. She just was a witness. She told what Jesus told her, how Jesus changed her, and she said, come see a man. And that's it. Bring people to Jesus. Bring them yourself. Bring them through missions. That's what we got to do. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'll be with us today. Heavenly Father, help us to be kind in our witnessing. Help us to actually do the witnessing, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear Lord, for us to see that there's a world around us that's quickly, quickly going away from us, dear Lord. Help us not to wait too late. Heavenly Father, help us to reach the world. Help us to reach our world, even here in Bourbonnais, before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Very good, Brother Schultz. That was a help. That was transparent, wasn't it? Wonderful. Wonderful lesson. You know, as a church, we fully understand the fact that the time is short and the window is closing. Brother Osworthy just came home, was a little over a year ago, or a little less than a year ago, from Russia. And he's right. These requirements of having to what they have to do to get into these countries nowadays. I told him yesterday, last evening at supper together, that I think about 80%, 75 to 80% of our missionary letters list some kind of difficulty that they're having with visas, either to get in the country or stay in the country. The paperwork demands are incredible. And, you know, folks, I don't know if you caught what he said. Man, what an impact. He said, you know, God, when he was talking about send us your children, send us your young, he said, God's never had a problem with money. And he could have said, there's always been a problem with laborers. Because in that same passage, that's what Christ said. Or not that, in Luke chapter 10, he said the laborers are few. The problem's always been with the laborers. And I'm going to tell you what's happened in America. Parents have decided God's will for their children. And when it takes place. It's okay if God calls you, but first you're going to do this. I didn't know they were operating on your calendar. I thought we were supposed to give them to God. Because they're His. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. He's exactly right. You got your plans for them, what they're going to do, so that then they can go to the mission field, and they're going to get themselves so entrenched here that they won't be able to go. I really appreciate what he said. I'm with him 100%. 150%. And God bless you, Brother Schultz, for just being transparent. And what you say about what he was real transparent about, his the kids and wanting to come home to see Grandma and Grandpa and want to see their cousins. That's real. That's real. And boy, I'll tell you, that was outstanding. Outstanding lesson, and the challenge to us as a church to keep our attitude right about those who need the gospel all around us. Thank you, Brother Schultz. God bless you. You see, now tonight he'll be preaching in the evening service, showing the presentation. Actually, it's from 3 years ago because they just got in the States, and that's what they were doing yesterday down in Lincoln, was putting their new presentation together. So the pro of having them here right after they get back to America is that everything about Zambia is still fresh in their hearts and minds. The con is that they don't have a new presentation yet, but that's okay. I'd rather have it firsthand, amen, from him. So he'll be preaching tonight in the evening service and also showing the presentation. We'll do this again next Sunday with Brother Trail here. Our first two Sundays, we had deputation missionaries, Brother Leonard and Miss Bowman, Miss Erica Bowman. But now today and next week, veteran missionaries who've already been on the field for several years, and Brother Trail next week, as I said, working in the Middle East and speaking to us next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, on the subject, the mind of a Muslim. I talked about this on Wednesday night, not his lesson, but the fact that I had the opportunity to begin a witness with a Muslim couple. And to be honest with you, I was a little bit handicapped by knowing what to say to them, because it's a completely different faith from a completely different book and a completely different culture, language barrier and everything. So he will bring that lesson, the mind of a Muslim, on next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And then same format, I'll preach the morning service, and then he'll bring the lesson, the message on Sunday night.